Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth on Power of Attorney Radio. Power of Attorney Radio is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area with clients across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, Blueprint for Wealth, at www.blueprintforwealth.org, where you can find out videos, audios, and articles of interest on tax, estate planning, and business planning. This is part two of a two-part segment featuring my special guest, Randy DeMalke, who is the principal and founder of Liquid Capital Group. Welcome back, Randy.
Thank you, Wayne. It's a pleasure to be back.
In this segment, we're going to be talking about a continuation of the due diligence that must be exercised by investors when they're engaging in private investing. And Randy truly is an expert at doing this. He helps others invest their money as well as his own money in finding good private equity investments. And we were talking about the various aspects that you consider as a private investor when you're looking at companies and due diligence. One of the important factors is human nature. Give me some of the best practices that investors should focus on when you're focusing on human nature as a category or as a factor in making your investment decisions.
Sure, happy to do that, Wayne. You know, first of all, being human beings is a fantastic place to be on this earth, and there's all sorts of great things that come with it, and there's all sorts of challenges that come with it. So in doing analysis of early stage investments in private equity companies, you know, the fact that we have critical reasoning as human beings, I mean, that's a fantastic skill to have. On the other hand, as widely known, you know, we can be moody, we can be greedy, we can be tired. All these things kind of can factor into one's analysis. We can be, you know, timid, we can be insecure. All these things can undermine what is otherwise very good and thorough due diligence. And, you know, what I say with respect to human factors is you need to be cognizant of what these factors are so that you can take advantage of the very positive aspects, and then you can avoid in many cases negative aspects of being a human being.
Give me an example of how you would identify helpful or harmful human characteristics.
Absolutely. Well, one of the first things that I like to talk about and look for is what I call groupthink, right?
Okay.
So if you're looking at investments, it's a great idea to have a group, to have multiple people looking at the same investment and getting, you know, a different viewpoint, right?
Right.
On the other hand, there are some negatives to doing that, because all of a sudden you get in a meeting with four or five other people, and maybe people are afraid to speak out. Maybe
right.
People are afraid to criticize.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, maybe there's a herd mentality.
Right. Somebody's a really strong personality who pounds his fist on the table and has a very strong opinion about an investment when it may be completely ludicrous, right?
Yeah, we need to do this
That's
deal.
That's right. Why?
Why? So,
because I think we need to do this deal.
Yeah, so what I say there is, you know, let's be cognizant of things like groupthink, and let's make sure that we're not falling into the traps that are, you know, well documented.
Mm-hmm. So the reality is, with private investing, is it's really hard to find good quality investments from your end. You only find 1-2%.
Correct.
And therefore, very few companies really get funded, right?
Correct. Yeah.
The other reality is that the founders or the owners or the early investors ultimately will be diluted by the investment that you and your investors make, right?
Exactly.
There's also another reality, right? What is the reality that you're going to need more money at some point?
That's why I'm very glad you brought me in to have this chat, Wayne, because, yeah, there are lots of kind of myths out there. You know, people think,
I need is $500,000.
Yeah, any startup, you know, I invest in, I'm just going to get 10 times my money, and whatever the company tells me, I'm sure it must be true, because, you know, they wouldn't at all misrepresent the truth or be overzealous about the prospects for their company. I mean, why would anyone do that? And, you know, the reality is, if you do your homework, if you lay a solid foundation for your private investing, you will do fine.
Mm-hmm.
You won't do fine all the time. You know, you're going to have some wins and you're going to have some losses, but you will do fine. And, you know, kind of bringing to bear some of these myths and dispelling them very quickly in the process, I think, is important.
How early do you invest in companies? I mean, I represent a lot of startup companies, and I've started them up from scratch.
Sure.
When they're service companies, it's easy because they go out and get a contract and start rendering services and make money. But when they're building products, or they're doing technology development, or they're building a portal, or whatever it is that they're doing, it may take a lot of time to build it. And at what point do you start investing in companies?
Sure. So I'm an analyst, and I'm not as much an analyst of technology as I am an analyst of businesses. So I need some kind of business metrics to kind of wrap my arms around.
So got it.
A company that can come to me and say, Randy, these are our key performance indicators.
Right.
It's not just one or two, it's 8 or 10. And here's how these key performance indicators have been tracking for the last 6 to 12 months. That's what I want to see.
Okay.
Right? And those are not lines of code developed. Those are, let's say, number of customers that you've closed.
Okay. Gotcha. Now, you have identified sort of a checklist of successful early stage investor criteria, or what constitutes a successful early stage investor. Can you sort of go down that checklist for me?
Sure. First of all, you gotta understand that you're the investor, you're not the CEO of the company, right?
Right.
So if you want to run a company, become the CEO.
Right.
Don't become an investor, right? Because no matter how active you are, how many seats you have on the board, you're not running the company.
Right. Day to day, for sure.
Right. You also have to be good at making decisions on the fly, because mm-hmm. many times you're going to be called up and the company's going to ask you to vote on a certain issue. And you're not going to have necessarily all the information you might have had in the due diligence process, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to contrast the due diligence process, where really you conduct that on your own time. Once you're an investor in the company, now you're subject to, you know, the company's time.
Got it.
And the market's time. You have to be very kind of calm, cool, and collected, right? Entrepreneur might call you up in a panic. You can't also be in the panic. You need to be the voice of reason. You need to be the guy who's calm, cool, and collected, and you know, counsel that entrepreneur or help him or her make the right decision. Never lose track of the numbers. You know, it kind of goes back to the discussion we had about, you know, it's all about the money. In gauging the performance of a company, it's all about the numbers.
But you are a backseat driver.
You are a backseat driver. So you are, you know, and the car analogy is the right one. You're mm-hmm. in the backseat. You can still see the speedometer. You can still see the tachometer. You can.
Hey, buddy, slow down.
Yeah.
Or take a left up here.
Yeah.
Giving them advice on which direction to go is critical.
Yeah. But we've all yelled up to the front, turn the radio, change the station. I hate this song.
I get yelled at more than I do the yelling, but on the side of calm, cool, and collected, you also have to be a little bit paranoid, don't you?
Yep. I think it was Andy Grove that said only the paranoid survive.
Which is kind of sad, but it's true.
Well, you know, you don't have to be that guy who's completely paranoid, but you should definitely be cautious and skeptical. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask the same question 2 or 3 times and compare the answers if you do it in a nice, polite, friendly way. You don't want to sound like you're, you know, deposing someone. But, you know, if your interests are aligned and the entrepreneur knows you're on his team, you know, just, you know, throw the same question out there 2 or 3 different times and see if you get the same answer.
Now, you mentioned in doing your due diligence that you're looking for, you know, the key performance indicators, which is a very strongly used or commonly used term for all businesses today to help measure performance. Traction with customers is one of the key things that you mentioned.
Sure.
I would think that, you know, if a business is starting to develop, you know, traction with customers, has contracts, is starting to generate revenue, that's a really important factor.
Sure.
As an investor, what are some of the other company-specific criteria that you use to analyze the business opportunity?
Sure. Well, you know, you use the word overused, Wayne. I mean, a lot of these are overused probably because they're the right things you should be caring about, right?
Right.
So you want to see a company that is addressing a large market, right? And not just large, but there's some acute problem that, you know, it might be written up all in the paper all the time that this is a real problem in a large industry. You know, you want the company to have a realistic plan to address this problem, right? So, you know, they can't just come to you and say, oh, this is, you know, look how big the automotive industry is. Yeah, no, I got that. But, you know, what is your plan to become you know, relevant, significant, and these are other buzzwords again because they're accurate. What is your plan? You know, have you done this before? So you're addressing a big opportunity, you have a realistic plan, but who's going to execute this plan? Have you executed plans like this, Wayne,
right,
before, ever? And what happened?
Right.
Were you successful?
Right.
Did you meet with challenges or did you fail?
Right.
And I don't rule someone out just because they failed, but I want to know those answers.
You want to know the history.
Yeah, I want to know the history because, again, I'm going to compare and contrast everything you said to me today with everything you said to me before, and then I'm going to compare and contrast that with everything every other company ever said to me before and after, and I'm going to try to really figure out who's at the top of the heap at the end of the day.
Gotcha. Can you give me some examples of some companies that you have invested in and had success?
Sure. Well, one of the most recent ones is a local company here called Paracher. They were founded in the early 2000s, right about when I was funding my business, right? So
right.
14 years ago, most people, you know, probably think it's an overnight success. But, you know, Duke Chung founded Paracher in his dorm room at Cornell. He moved down here after he got investment from Ching Ho Fung as an angel investor. Spent years building the software before they had any customers at all. I got introduced to the company in 2005, mm-hmm, when, again, they probably had about 8 or 10 customers that they could say, Randy, you know, feel free to call them. These folks are having a positive experience with our software. So I first invested in a convertible note in 2006. Which was converted into an equity round in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did several follow-on investments in the company. And they were very fortunate to finally be able to sell out to Microsoft in January of this year. And while I can't talk about exactly how much money we made, I can tell you we made money and we were very happy about the outcome.
Yay. Well, that's a successful outcome on an investment that you made. Have you had any unsuccessful outcomes? And if you had to measure the unsuccesses versus the successes, what's your ratio?
Sure. Well, we're very fortunate to have about a 70% batting average. And I got to tell you, that's about 20 points higher than what I thought it would be in 2000 when
wow.
I went into this business.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
70% of all investments have returned a positive
investment. We've returned some money to the fund, to our investors, as a result of those investments. And, you know, if I had to attribute it to anything, it's the due diligence we do. It's the quality and the amount of due diligence that we do. And in fact, the Kauffman Foundation did a study which said exactly that,
mm-hmm,
that the quality and the volume of due diligence that you do as an individual or a professional investor is directly related to the outcome. And so, you know, I'm living proof of that study, and they go into way more detail, of course, about what happens. But in my world, and I'm not saying, you know, everyone has to be like me, but in my world, that is what I'm comfortable doing. That has been what works for me. And I will, you know, God willing, continue to do the same thing for the next 20 or 30 years.
So we're talking with Randy Demalke, who is the founder of Liquid Capital Group. Randy, if people want to get in touch with you to find out how they can invest with you, through you, or side by side with you, what would they do? How would they get in touch with you?
Sure. The best thing to do is call me on the phone the old-fashioned way at 703-626-3757. I take all calls. You never know when the next Facebook or Twitter is on the phone. We take all leads, and we're very good at giving, you know, direct feedback to companies. And I would say, sure, just give me a call, 703-626-3757. You're welcome to peruse our website at liquidcapitalgroup.com, and you know, look forward to meeting you if you want to reach out.
Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth today.
Thanks very much, Wayne, for having me.
And thanks for listening to this podcast on Blueprint for Wealth on Power of Attorney Radio. I'm Wayne Zell. Please join me soon for our next podcast of interest featuring special guests and topics that hopefully will help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Have a great day.